Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Monday across the country, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I call it National Overreaction Day. I call it more specifically Pretend I Know What I'm Talking About Day. Not really pertaining to me, but to be honest, John, most people have no idea about this.
Well, and the more that you know, the worse that you do.
So I don't
it's a level playing field.
I used to subscribe to that, but I don't know if I subscribe to that anymore.
You can overthink things.
Well, yes, maybe you can, but I don't think anybody, I think people today, what do they really know about college basketball besides Duke? The ACC's loaded. The Pac-12 is down. Nova's not as good as they were a year ago. And a couple of pockets in between. I think a lot of people are just guessing.
Well, if they don't hate fun, they'll know about how good offensively Wofford is.
Oh, here we go. All right, so listen, get the nerd alert. Now, John, now, I've known John as
15
long.
15 years. A decade and a half. That's a long time.
We're getting up there, buddy. John was
that's
just.
That's a long time.
It is. And how I met John, I say this every time I have him on. I met John when I was at another network years ago, obviously 15 years or so ago. John walked in the door just out of school. I felt like I was talking to a robot until I actually got to know him. That his basketball prowess is, I don't use the word unparalleled too often, but I think you could attach it to this young man's portfolio.
I'm not young anymore.
He's still young. He's a little bit younger than me, so you're still young. John, of course, CBS Sports College Hoops Insider, does the same for SI. He's got the College Hoops Today podcast. But because I know John as well as I do, I could say with a smile, he's got this ridiculous propensity to actually get way too nerdy. So when you start dropping eighth man reference and play, they want to hear this. And that's it. That's going to shut you down. Because if we don't do that to you, you will derail the entire show.
So I shouldn't talk about how good Jeremy Harris was for Buffalo during the MAC tournament.
Well, they might play St. John, so that I might be interested
in. All right, I'm just trying to give you the facts right kidding. Now. You might have to call that game.
I know. All right, let's get to this. Good jump-off point. The net rankings, we were all kind of guessing, all trying to deduce exactly what they entailed based on, you know, what you followed throughout the year, what your intel tells you from behind the scenes. How accurate were the net rankings? Are you okay with it? Anything jump out, good or bad?
You know, this is the one thing that I think that people need to realize. The RPI was something that obviously was replaced with the net. But still, getting to the NCAA tournament was based on who you beat and if you could avoid bad losses. You have to beat teams that are forecasted to be in the NCAA tournament. So I started a sheet of 68 teams last Thursday. And then I edited it, obviously, throughout the weekend based on bid stealers and things like that. And I had 67 of the 68 teams in the bracket. Belmont was the one team I didn't have in the bracket. I had TCU in and over Belmont.
Okay, Jamie Dixon, TCU.
Yeah, so that was the only team I didn't have in, but... You know, RPI wasn't the overall dictator of, you know, at-large bids when it was obviously the metric that people use. And net wasn't the overall metric that people use
so
either.
So it wasn't
that
nearly as potent as they positioned it to start.
No,
it seemed like it was the new gold standard. You have a good net ranking.
No,
you set.
It wasn't at all. And that's why, you know, I think, you know, because it was new and nobody really knew what it was, we made a jump to a conclusion. But it's who you beat, where you beat them, and could you avoid bad losses. Bad losses, in my opinion, is what cost Michigan State a one seed. And what people, I think, tend to forget is you made a great point at the start. Like, people are watching this time of year, and they say, well, Michigan State won the Big Ten tournament. They still lost to Indiana twice. They still lost to Illinois.
Yeah.
That's why you're not a one seed.
Yeah.
You know, St. John's, Arizona State, great wins. Kansas, Mississippi State, Utah State, Washington, although Washington doesn't have a win against an at-large team in the field.
I saw that.
They also had some bad losses. That's why they're in the first four. So you have to win games against teams that are projected in the bracket, and you have to avoid bad losses.
And
that hasn't changed.
I'm sorry, John. And one thing that you've been on you've been on the money with this as well, challenging yourself early.
Yes.
I mean, you got to have a pretty good out-of-conference schedule. If you don't, you really can't trip up. Now, you were critical of St. John's out-of-conference, but they actually were able to circumvent that. And I want to ask you this, because I made the point earlier, you know, whether it's Arizona State, St. John's, or whomever that goes and plays in the first four, there's like this indignity, like, oh, we got to go to the first four.
Right.
It's not really the tournament. All right, whatever. People feel that way. That's fine. But I make the case that if you're going to Dayton, chances are if you had one or two more wins, if they were decent wins, maybe it would have been an 8 or a 9 seed. So roughly.
I don't know about that high. Maybe, a 10 or 11.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But maybe in the neighborhood, right? So if I'm one of those teams, wouldn't you have a theoretically better chance to make some noise, go to Dayton, then take your chances with the winner, you know, if the 6 seed advances, and then take your chances with the 3-14 winner rather than go 8-9 and play Duke or Virginia?
Well, I think a thing, too, you have to think about is look at the success teams out of Dayton have had. Last year, Syracuse went to the Sweet 16. In 2014, Tennessee went to the Sweet 16.
VCU.
In 2011, VCU went to the Final Four.
Yep.
And another thing, if you are a program that is not annually in the NCAA tournament, St. John's, Arizona State's in their second straight NCAA tournament this year, so that's a little bit different. But you're playing in a standalone game.
Yes.
You are the only game on in the NCAA tournament. If you're obviously still trying to build your brand,
yep,
that is a showcase that could go a long way.
What do you mean, like a profile for recruiting kind of thing? Just to get
you're
some...
a standalone game,
yeah,
just as a regional final is a standalone game, just as a Final Four. Now, the magnitude of the game is somewhat different,
mm-hmm,
because it's, you know, the first four, but I still think there's something to be said for that, especially more so at the mid-major level for a team like a Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah, okay. Fairleigh Dickinson, not far from where we are now, the Knights from the NEC. John Rothstein's with us here, CBS Sports College Hoops Insider, does the same for SI, host of College Hoops Today podcast, and Tiki is out. Tiki is now on his 19th ball playing the Pro-Am down there in Florida at the Valspar. I have a million questions that I'm going to throw at you, just pepper you with a million different things, but one thing that I can't fully deduce, I think I know the answer, but the St. Mary's win over Gonzaga, okay, is that an anomaly on the part of Gonzaga, how they played, or is that an anomaly in terms of maybe overperforming on the part of St. Mary's?
Great question. I think one thing that, you know, doesn't get enough credit, for people like Mark Few and Eric Musselman, all season long, they had to get their team ready to play. They had to get their team ready to practice against teams that really probably, for the most part, didn't have a chance to beat them. They were the heavy favorites.
Yeah.
They had superior talent. That is a difficult thing to do for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to fight the mental aspect of, you know, your players being bored and so on and so forth.
The Pepperdines, teams like that.
I have been, I would say, on St. Mary's campus in the last 8 years, you know, maybe 3 to 5 times.
I've seen a few of those tweets. You make your way around town. You go everywhere.
And it's, you know, Randy Bennett in some ways is a mastermind,
uh-huh,
as a coach, you know, with all the respective facilities, you know, aren't great.
Nope.
And he is somebody who has done an unbelievable job of almost doing what Tony Bennett has done at Virginia from a style perspective, in the sense where we're not going to turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take the best shots possible. We're going to be extremely physical on defense, but we are not going to give our opponent opportunities to benefit off our turnovers. And I don't want to say they held the ball against, you know, Gonzaga, because they didn't, but you hold the team in Gonzaga that is much more potent offensively than the team 2 years ago,
yep,
that went to the national title game, to 47 points. It's almost like, and you can
relate
to this,
it's incredible.
It's like pitching a perfect game.
Yeah, no,
it's like pitching a perfect game.
It sounds like a drastic analogy, but it's really not, because Gonzaga, and they score 90. I mean, they can just hang 90 on you in a heartbeat.
A ridiculous offensive team.
Mm-hmm. No question. That was definitely their anomaly. We'll see how it plays out during the tournament here. I know that there's always a tendency, since the Big East, you know, fractured off, and now, you know, it is what it is. I know that this year's Villanova team is radically different, and
mm-hmm,
with all due respect to Jay Wright, I know who you were recently with, radically inferior to the team last year.
Yeah.
You lose 4 guys to the NBA, it is what it is. Are they a second weekend team?
I don't believe a Big East team will play in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think it's the worst the Big East has ever been in the history, 40 years of the Big East.
Yeah, I mean, it's this year or the year in 2014, the first year of the conference when they also got 4 bids, but
yeah.
I think when you look at the Big East right now in terms of their draw, Seton Hall is going to play a really good Wofford team. If you win, you play Kentucky, who will be out for revenge.
Yep,
St. John's.
And for those who might not remember, Seton Hall beat Kentucky
early
in the year.
St. John's has been a wild card all season.
Yep.
It's a 50-50. You don't know which team's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You look then at Marquette. They're playing Murray State, who, and this is the rarity.
This is going to be good.
Unless Murray State plays Duke, Murray State will always have the best player on the floor in the NCAA tournament. That's a difficult game. That's part of the region of Sizzle, which is the West region.
Seton
Hall plays in the region of Pace, which we'll get to in a second.
All right.
I'm surprised
it took you 11 minutes to start dropping these corny region identifications
in the Midwest region. And then Villanova is going to play, you know, the St. Mary's team to beat Gonzaga,
yep,
and then they're going to play Purdue. And the way I look at it right now, I don't expect the Big East team to be in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament.
I don't really see it either. I'm going to remove myself from the St. John stuff because I'm obviously doing the games here. But the one thing that worries me about Marquette is, you know, Marcus Howard's hand's not right. And the thing, and the Hauser brothers are good, but they're not very athletic. If they get open shots and they get spot ups, they'll drop them down, but they're not a very athletic team. And Howard's small, too, so
you can survive, who is waiting? The biggest Final Four sleeper in the bracket.
Who do you got?
Florida State.
Okay, so let's get to Leonard Hamilton a little bit here.
Well, I look at it like this, and you've been doing sports, you know, for a long time. Sentimental favorites emerge in sports. You know, Leonard Hamilton has been coaching a really, really long time.
He has.
He's 70. He looks like he's 54.
He looks good.
He looks great.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Tiki would say black don't crack. Tiki would say that. That's what he would say. And he's right. He looks really good.
And, you know, this is a team that went to the Elite Eight last year, came up short against Michigan, has a large part of that nucleus back, and they're not really being talked about as a Final Four contender, but look right now at the potential draw for Florida State. If they are to go to the Sweet 16, they would play Gonzaga. Who did they beat in the Sweet 16 last year? Gonzaga. And then if they potentially hook up in the West Regional Final in the region of Sizzle against Michigan, that would be a rematch of last year's Elite Eight game when Michigan won. And, you know, Florida State, again, they didn't just beat Virginia. They dominated Virginia in the ACC tournament, which I think will help Virginia come out of the region of grind.
Okay, speaking of Virginia and the region of grind that John so aptly dubs it, we love Bennett. Obviously, Tiki went to Virginia. We've had him on the show.
Class guy.
He is a class act, as class could get. But there is an element of pressure, maybe not from the administration there. I mean, I would imagine if he wants to stay there for 30 years, they would keep him.
Yeah.
But eventually, you got to crack through and win.
No.
And we know that this team could score like they couldn't in the past. Would you be stunned if they're not in Minneapolis at the Final Four?
Stunned, considering the draw. I think when you look at the number one seeds in this NCAA tournament, I think Virginia has one of the better routes to get to Minneapolis. I have Virginia in the Final Four coming out of the regional grind. I think Gonzaga had the toughest because, BT, look right now at the lineup for the Zags.
Syracuse.
I've got Syracuse.
Oh, you do? You have Syracuse winning that game.
Over Baylor.
I got you.
So now you got a 48-hour turnaround for the 2-3 zone. So you're prepping for the 2-3 zone on a two-day turnaround. You win that, you have Florida State. If the seeds hold, things can change.
Gotcha.
But if you win that, you have Florida State. Then if you win that, you have Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to win those three games in a row, I mean, that's...
Too, that you're going against.
What, Boeheim, Leonard, and then Beilein.
You know what they say
about him in March.
Well, go what?
He plays chess. Everybody else is playing checkers.
Well, then he has no championships.
What?
I mean, some of these tweets that you put out there, like, you know I love you. But if he's playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers, where's the national championships?
Okay, who did he lose off last year's team?
You always say that.
Who did he lose off last year's team?
This guy. Who did he lose? Von Wagner.
Mo Wagner. Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman. Duncan Robinson. And they're a two-seed. They're 28-5.
Oh, I'm not questioning his career. I loved him from West Virginia.
I mean,
and I know
on.
He did at Richmond and Lemoyne before. I mean, and Canisius.
Right.
I love the guy. But,
I can't
you know,
get
you off
brand
get
just because I'm doing an interview.
That's true.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.